Yeah, welcome everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International Chief and 2020. So today I wanted to talk about positive mindset strategies for your athletes, and also this applies to anyone who's performing. Some of you I know are working with musicians too, and or business people, or students that want to do well on tests, test taking too. So, yeah, sometimes you might want to expand out to other areas with these techniques too. So all kinds of great things that you can do with this. So what I wanted to talk about during our call today is mindset strategies, like things like what kinds of negative mindsets affect performance, and you know, non-productive thoughts, how we can deal with those. You can think of these things in terms of yourself as an athlete, as well as your clients, potential clients, thinking about positive energy, how to create that and keep it. And now that we're, many months into this, the COVID-19 pandemic, that people have developed, I guess you might call it a COVID-19 mindset, or some people have a negative mindset about that, others maybe a forward-looking one, so how to keep your athletes moving forward, and also how to handle the comparing mindset, especially with women athletes, comparing to others, which happens a lot on social media. Talk about what happens when athletes lose their focus, and emotional states, how to manage those, give you some different techniques for managing mindset. One of my called havening techniques that's helpful too, that I wanted to mention, as well as many other things. The previous call we were talking about mindfulness, so, go over some things there. There's lots of techniques with mindfulness-based stress reduction and mental training, breath awareness, body scan, lots of different things like that. So, and then you can bring in any kind of questions or comments. The main purpose for these calls is comment, to answer your questions and comments, of course. So I'm happy to answer those as well. And we could talk about anything related to this, as well as just general questions about, if you have questions about marketing or coaching your athletes as well. So yeah, I want to start talking about how our thoughts kind of create our reality. And, you can think about the mind as being like a thought factory. It really produces thousands of thoughts per day, and it's a lot we're not aware of. And, where your mind goes, your energy and your body follow. So it's good to ask yourself and your athletes, how much of your life or your training is guided by positive thinking, and how much by negative or critical thinking. And it's possible, I think, to direct our minds so that your thoughts are creating the reality that you desire. I mean, during this pandemic time, there's so much bad news coming out and negative stuff. You can get really caught up in that. But I think within ourselves, we can create our own inner energy and our own way of handling things, regardless of what's going on the outside. An example is, people who've been in prison and have been there for, some people, have just, that's their reality, and other people have found a way to, do music or create something, be able to do something with the outside world, even have radio shows within their prison cell, and amazing things to be able to create their own reality, even though they're in this very difficult situation. So with every athlete, that we work with, there's this kind of negative inner voice inside. So first I want to talk about that, and then talk about how to counteract that And, you know, think about it with yourself, with examples that you have, that negative inner voice that's, you know, primed to attack and judge us and, you know, can make you nervous before important events. It can interrupt your focus. It can keep you from doing your absolute best in your training and your competitions. And, you know, most people have probably experienced that inner critic, but athletes especially, I think, are vulnerable to this. And I think women athletes even more so, because this negative energy and high-pressure situations, it can be really unavoidable in sports, because you're always, especially with individuals and team sports, there's the competition there on the other side. That's the whole idea of sports, is to attack the opponent, physically or sometimes mentally. And so even, you know, athletes with strong confidence and self-worth can end up with this kind of inner critic or debilitating within. And so if you have shaky confidence, if you're not sure about yourself from the beginning, then low self-esteem, you might be more susceptible to that kind of negative voice inside. And so, yeah, I wanted to give you some examples of that, that negative mindset, and so you can, you know, be aware of, with your athletes, how it can affect them. The more aware you can be of these kind of strategies, the better you can understand them. So, you know, kind of getting to know what that inner voice does to you, and then we can learn how to turn it around. So, you know, things like that negative voice inside oftentimes sets, you know, like the perfectionist, it sets unrealistic high standards of perfection and makes you a failure if you're not, you know, with the tiniest error, you know, you're saying, God, I've got to win this race or go and win this this game, or anything less will be just a waste of time. That kind of thought goes through our minds. And then the comparing mindset, you know, where we're comparing ourselves to those of others, and we feel less than adequate, thinking, because of course on social media people tend to only post the best things and their highest achievements, and it's not a realistic view of things at all. And now with the pandemic, we're spending a lot more time on the internet, so there's time to look at that and compare to other people, and I think it's can be a good thing to not to spend more time, you know, within yourself or with other people in real time, face to face, or out in nature. Less time on the internet, if possible, or take breaks from it. And then that negative voice inside, it tends to blame us for most things that go wrong. You know, it holds you responsible for the things that you can control, things you can't control, you know, like how other opponents are doing on your team or other people in a competition. So it's a good technique there, is to, you know, have your athletes make a list of things you can control and things you can't control. Things you can't control, like how your opponents are doing, the weather, you know, whether the game starts late, that kind of thing, and list those things you can control, which are things like attitude and effort and how much sleep you get the night before, and how well you take care of yourself, how much you mentally prepare, and really how athletes focus on those, let go of the others and that you can't control, and really look at what you can control. And then here's one that's to be aware of, that your negative voice inside tends to, I think, keep a, you know, perfect record of the mistakes, right? We always remember the mistakes and replay those in our minds, but that voice tends to forget to remind you of the personal strengths and accomplishments, the things that you have done well. So it tends to be this, you know, big negative record of things. And so a good technique there is to you know, have somebody take a piece of paper, put a line down the middle, and the mistakes maybe go on the left side, and the right side you can, you know, make a list of your strengths and accomplishments or what you did do well. And often the volume of that voice is much lower, so we need to turn that up and really highlight those things, those accomplishments. So let me just check in and see what do any of those things ring true for you or for yourself or for your athletes? Can you give examples of that? I know we've got a new person in our program, Val. I just want to welcome you also, Val. Welcome to our program. And glad you can join us here. Yeah, and I'm so glad that you're part of the program. And you've been, your expertise is in basketball, right? And I just wondered if you have some examples of kind of that negative voice or inner critic within that you heard yourself or with your athletes.
Definitely with myself. I always tell athletes, you need to be your biggest fan, not your biggest critic. And at least for me personally, I was always my biggest critic, and a lot of it was dependent on the fact that I was a perfectionist. And excellence is not perfection, right? And a lot of times we think to be excellent, you have to be perfect. So that was for me personally, and I find a lot of athletes are like that. When I hard themselves, just a few of my athletes that I've gotten comments from, it's because they want to be perfect, for themselves and for their family that's watching.
Right. Yeah. And, a lot of times you're aware of who's watching the game, the parents, and you want everybody to be just right and perform just so well for them. And did that affect you while you were playing? I know that you played professionally with basketball and in the NCAA, right? Which is fantastic achievements there. There must have been a lot of pressure to play perfectly there, or feel like you're just that you couldn't. You know, it's hard to make mistakes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't I didn't think a lot about my – I didn't self-analyze, over-analyze until I became a professional athlete. And I think it's because I had nothing else to do. Like when I was a student athlete, I had school and basketball. But when I was a pro athlete, I just had basketball. And so I had a lot of time on my hands to ruminate over what I didn't do well instead of what I did do well. So I think I struggled more as an adult playing than when I was – in my younger years.
Yeah, right. It's it depends on what level you're at. And an example of that, it affects, and the different sports, it affects people different ways, too. I had one girl, 15-year-old girl who was playing golf and her father would follow her along on the course as she's playing, like in a tournament, and would be texting her during the tournament saying things like, "You're not trying hard enough," and that you should be taking more practice swings or that kind of thing right during the tournament, which was, and of course she's wanting to be perfect for her father, that kind of, and the father's making the record of mistakes the whole time, and he's not really an expert in golf at all, but he would tend to do that, and I asked my athlete, she said, "We're not supposed to look at our phones during the tournament," but she had it in her pocket anyway, and she said, "Oh, I just turned it to vibrate, so I don't look at it." But then every time he would text her, she feels that vibration in her pocket buzz, she knows, "Oh God, that's another. That's my dad getting upset with me again," and knows that it's another bad text from dad. So his record of mistakes was leading to her feeling like she's not being adequate, and of course would lead her to playing even worse. And you know, we made a simple change with that. I said, can you, you know, just power down your phone completely so it's off, so you don't feel the vibration? And she said to me, oh, I never thought of that. And it's like for most young people, that's a powering down the phone is a completely foreign concept. Because the younger the person is, the more, you know, their phone is just part of their life. And so they never even think about turning the power off. And I asked her to try doing that for a game, one of the tournaments, and she did that. And she was afraid her father would get upset and that sort of thing. But I said, well, just tell him it's part of your homework assignment, or that's what we want to, it's an experiment here that we're doing, so that you can really focus on the game. And then that you could talk with your father afterwards. And so she turned the power off and on the phone, and then was able to perform, you know, so much better, because she didn't have that, even if the father was texting her, you know, she didn't have to respond to that right there, or didn't have to feel his anger or frustration all throughout the game. So sometimes you can do, you know, simple changes like that. And so I helped her. I said to her, I'm helping you, I'm coaching you how to coach your dad, basically, even though she's 15 years old and a lot of kids have trouble standing up to their parents. I helped her to be more assertive in an appropriate way, and be able to explain to the father that she needs to be able to focus during the game, and that they're not supposed to look at their phone and not receive texts. So, you know, that was something she could explain to the dad, that it wasn't just turning him off, but it's being able to focus on her own performance. And then she could ask her father, can you, if you have comments, can you just please write them down, or just please write them somewhere on to yourself, to himself, to keep track, and then afterwards you can talk about it rather than during the game. So because she needed to be able to do that in between, like with golf, it's different, you know, different sports are different, have different modes of energy and focus. And with golf, you know, you hit a shot and then you move forward and walk and get to the next where your ball is. And during that time, it's really important to just let your mind wander. There's this thing called default mode network that you may have heard of. It's, we're hearing a lot about with psychological research and neurological research now. The default network is when, you know, the mind is, when we're not doing anything, when we're not looking at screens, not looking at the phone, not getting input even from the earbuds, but just maybe sitting and looking out at the sky, or walking and just doing, letting your mind wander. And that's such a key thing. When we do that, then the brain goes into what's called the default mode network. Its default is to just to think, to process, to wander, to maybe not have input from the outside, but just to be able to relax. And we need that so much on a regular basis every day. And that's when, you know, with my golfing athlete, you know, that's when she could, you know, just that simple small time after hitting a shot, when she could go and walk to the next spot, that's when I encouraged her to just relax and, yeah, just go into that default mode network and let your mind wander. And, you know, you might want to be analyzing the shot and that sort of thing and preparing for the next shot, but also it's just important to let your mind just relax, because we can't be in focus mode all the time. We need to, it's like a balancing act, I think. If you think of it like a scale and a pendulum swinging to the left and swinging to the right, and and we swing, the pendulum swings to the right toward peak performance where we're really focused on something, like with basketball, you know, hitting a shot, getting it in the basket. And then, at, let's say, after you get the ball in the basket, the pendulum swings back to the left toward, you know, recovery, even if it's a quick recovery of only a few seconds. It's good to, important to be able to relax the mind, and then you can process and just let the mind flow. And oftentimes things will, you know, you'll be able to reflect on things and just be able to say, okay, you know, reflect on, you made a pass, made a perfect shot in the basket. How did I do that? Or maybe it was just letting my mind go blank for a few moments. So just being able to reflect and just to appreciate, you know, a lot of times it's a good time to feel grateful. I'm just grateful I can be out here playing my sport, you know, and say a few words of gratefulness or that sort of thing, and be and just relax. And then once you've relaxed, then the pendulum can swing back toward the right, toward peak performance again, toward you know, hitting another shot. So so there's that kind of thing that goes on, and I think it's encourage athletes to be able to let the mind wander and go. And if the mind wanders and you end up, you know, beating yourself up, like a lot of female athletes do, with saying, oh, this is beating yourself up for the mistakes that you made, then it's good to just be able to notice that, be aware of it, and reset, and do something to, I think, physical, to be able to move past that. Like with one baseball player I was working with, whenever he would hit a pitch, do a bad pitch, he'd go back and to the mound, pitcher's mound, I'd have him pick up a little stone and throw it behind him. And he'd say, okay, that's behind me now. That's behind me. And so he's doing something physical and something mental, saying that to himself, that's behind me, kind of like letting it go, and then say to himself, okay, next shot, next pitch, and being able to keep moving forward. So those are some things that that negative voice does to us inside, blaming us and setting unrealistically high standards, or comparing yourself to others, or and keeping a perfect record of mistakes rather than accomplishments. And some other things I just want to mention as part of that thought is that the negative voice inside, it often has a rigid set of rules and shoulds that you have to live by, and kind of yells at us if we move outside those bounds. You should be perfect, or you should be like runners, you know, I should be running this pace, you know, a 36-minute 10K, or I should be running I should be hitting this number of baskets with basketball. So having that rigid set of shoulds as opposed to just saying, okay, here's my goal for today. And then another thing that the negative voice does is, calling, degrading names for ourselves. You know, you saying to yourself, you stupid, incompetent slug, or why couldn't you, do that, get under 36 minutes for that 10K? Why couldn't you hit that basket that time? So, those degrading names, it's really important to be aware of that and be able to turn that around to say, I'm getting better. You know, put the ing at the end of in the verb. Say I'm working on my my speed. I'm working. I'm getting to be a stronger athlete. I'm making progress, even if it's small progress. To be able to turn down the volume on the degrading names, or saying, you know, this is going nowhere. I'm not going to get anywhere with this. So, and a couple of things to be aware of with that negative voice or critic, it tends to magnify our weak points and, you know, just saying, oh, you always screw up, you don't finish things on time, you're always late, always and never, those superlatives we use. And it's better to turn that around, be able to say, I am working on not being on time, I am working on being able to be focused and be centered during my races. So being able to turn down the volume on the weak points and acknowledge, you know, when we make mistakes, but be able to move forward. So that, and that critic, I think, you know, oftentimes this happens too with, well, women and men athletes, more with women, perhaps, that the critic, that negative voice inside, we read our competitors' minds, and we, you know, just even a look from somebody else looking at us funny, it convinces them that, oh, they're angry, they're turned off, they're mad at me. We just interpret that look as something negative. Or it could be that they're going through something. Usually some people are going through something personal, something that happened to them earlier on and has nothing to do with, you know, with me as an athlete. I'm just in a bystander. So it's good to just recognize that, I think, to say to yourself it's not personal. So, yeah, so those are some things I just wanted to mention, that kind of getting to know that negative voice inside, and then saying I really, you know, I mean, if it continues like that, it ends up being, you know, destroying our self-worth, and you want to, it can be really toxic to our emotional health, these kinds of things. And when we tend to believe that voice inside, that inner critic or that negative voice, because it's really a distorted impression of what's going on. It only looks at the negative side of things. And so and only looks at past, you know, negative experiences and says things like, oh, you really blew it, here you go again. Those kind of comments, or you messed up just like last year, kind of brings up things in the past. And so if you can increase your awareness of those kind of thoughts and then learn to turn that switch off or refute its statements with something positive, then you can channel your kind of inner voice. Like a radio, you can change the channel, I think, before it has a chance to determine, undermine your attitude and your self-worth. And so it's good to, one thing you can do or have your athletes do with as an assessment is you can be aware of the situations when that negative voice comes in. So you can do a little assessment and notice, like, the places where you feel criticized. Maybe it might be when you're practicing or when you're with your coach. Maybe the coach is often really negative. So writing that down, okay, when I'm with my coach, that's when I feel criticized. Or parents, it can be that very critical as well. So note the places where you feel criticized, and then note the secondly, the conversations before, when someone might be, let's say, before a competition, when someone might be disapproving. So which conversations is it? What kind of things do they say? Other situations when your negative voice comes in is, you know, situations where you've made a mistake. So make note of the places, where does it happen in conversations, and then the situations where you've made a mistake. A particular thing like with basketball, saying, you know, when you, or so, you know, it's like you needed that one point for the game and then you missed the basket, or those kind of things. It could be a game-changing play. It can be really tough. And so noting those, and then noting interactions with authority figures, like I mentioned, coaches or parents. Also, top athletes have sponsors, and those are authority figures interacting with the media. When I was working with the Olympics, with Olympic athletes, and then I'm working with athletes now that are training for the upcoming Olympics for next year, for 2021. Of course, they were canceled this year because of COVID-19, but we're hoping for next summer. And so athletes with the Olympics have not only coaches and parents, but they've got expectations, you know, from the public. Let's say if they've won a gold medal or done really well in the past, they've got these expectations from people that they're going to repeat, even though it's 4 years later, or in this case 5 years later, expected to repeat what they did before. So there's that kind of interaction with people, and there's the media, the standard media, you know, TV, radio, magazines, and then there's, of course, social media, which is even much more prevalent. You could consider that an authority figure, because sometimes there can be people that are very negative about athletes on there if you're a major figure out there. So it's good to, you know, you can, that's a place as a performing edge coach, certified performing edge coach, you can help them to handle those kind of situations and to be able to answer questions, let's say, from the media in a way that is helps protect them and doesn't to spark, you know, more controversy, that kind of thing. Usually, often the media, when they ask questions, they want to. I've done a lot of interviews with media where they have actually come to my office here, and they want me to say negative things about athletes, particular athletes. And I think it's really important to stay away from that, to just talk about issues in general. Otherwise, if you say something negative about a particular athlete, chances are they're going to respond and it escalates into something. And so much better to talk about, just be the expert, talk about what you see as the overall issues. Looking at the list of things that you want to assess, you can look at places where you feel criticized, conversations, as I say, situations where you made a mistake, interactions with authority figures, also situations, circumstances where you've you risk failure or rejection. You know, that's a big one for athletes. If it's, let's say, an athlete's trying out for a team, or a musician is trying out for auditioning for a position. If you're an athlete and you're being chosen for a team, that could be really huge. Or as high school athletes are trying to get into colleges of their choice, that could be in a situation where they risk a failure or rejection, but it also could be seen as an opportunity. And so they often have a whole lot of pressure there. Feeling like if I mess, they're saying in their mind, if I mess up with this shot, then I'm not going to be able to go to college, that kind of thing, as opposed to saying, well, this is a chance, an open door for me, a chance to get to move through it. I had one example of that. I had a high school athlete that was. She was going to be going to the national championships with volleyball, and she was clearly the best person on her team for the position she was in, but the coach was clearly favoring this other woman to be in that position. And she was really concerned. They're going to the national championships. All the scouts are going to be there looking for, it could be a chance to, you know, get invitations to colleges. And she wanted to be able to show how good she could play, but she was worried that the coach might not even have her in a starting position, or might not have her be able to play, get enough playing time, you know, end up being on the bench too much when she's got so much potential. And so what I did with her was we met in my office here, and I coached her on how to talk to her coach, how to have that conversation with her coach beforehand to get what she wants. And we wrote down, I said, okay, well, why don't you write out a letter or write out a kind of script of what you want to say. First, just the unedited version so that you get your feelings out there. And then we'll practice. Then we'll kind of work on it. And I use what I call the sandwich technique, which is you know, saying something positive first, then putting the difficult part in the middle, the meat of the conversation, and then put the end with something positive as well. And so we did that, you know, saying at the beginning, you know, coach, I know we want our team to win, or we want to do our best at the national competition. And that's something you both can agree on. And then to say the difficult part in the middle, to say, look, I've got my statistics here, you know, I've been the highest statistics for being able to get my plays, and to and I've been working really hard on this and coming in early and staying late and practicing, and I feel like I'm at the top of my game here. I feel like I can really help the team to, you know, to do our best at the national championships. You know, how can I get more playing time, or make sure that I get to play there? And so we practice that. We get a role play so she could be able to talk with her coach about that and really improve her chances of getting to play, and really put out her desires there, and to show that she's really the best person on the team for helping them to perform well. So she had that. Then she scheduled time and ended up talking with the coach, and so they ended up because she had that conversation. I think you got to practice and do well, but you also have to show the coach you're doing well. And then, of course, she ended the conversation with something positive again. And I, you know, I know that giving me more playing time is going to really help our team to do well, because that's what the coach wants. You have to sort of put that in there too, the part that the, not just that you want as an athlete, but what the coach is looking for, and be able to talk about that in a way that you have mutual goals together. So then she went to the national championships, and turns out the coach did put her in the starting position, and she was able to get lots of playing time, and lots of scouts from colleges were watching there, and she ended up getting five different invitations to colleges, top colleges of her choice. So it was critical to be able to have that conversation, and plus she gained, you know, those assertiveness skills to be able to talk about what she wants, express her needs, and be really a strong female athlete. So that's the kind of thing that you can do to help counter that negative voice inside. Her negative voice was just saying, oh, I'm not going to be able to, the coach doesn't like me, I'm not going to get playing time, here I am working hard, but it's not not paying off. But she was able to do well and tell the coach what she needed and then get that. So that's an example of some of the things to be aware of. So you want to, yeah, make a have your athletes make a list of places where they feel criticized. I'll send this kind of assessment to you on our next email also, and put it on the website there. There's also some resources on the website and the Performing Edge Coach website. If you go into your private members area and you click on a couple things with that, on the right-hand side, you click on the yellow button that says Schedule. That'll give you the different modules there. And that you get access to one module per week. And then down below, if you scroll down from there, then you'll see replays from all the different, we've got almost 9 years or so of of call replays. So there's a real wealth of information there, things that you can listen to. And then at the top tab, there's also another tab that says resources, and I have lots of assessments there and workbook and lots of things that you can access there to work with your athletes. So, so then you want to be able to have them assess circumstances where they might feel risk or failure, a risk, failure, or rejection, and then times when you might feel hurt or someone's angry at you. That's a good time when we feel like we're that negative voice or inner critic comes up too. So have them assess those situations and notice the time, and then you could do a kind of self-awareness exercise, have them do an assessment for the time of day and what your critical self-statements are yourself, and then put down on the right-hand side positive self-statements, positive reconstructions. So each time you have one of those critical thoughts, you can be able to have your paper right there with this paper or computer or phone, have someone to write it down. So you train your brain each time you have a critical statement to be aware of it, and then to write down. It's better to do three, what I call power words or power word statements, three positive self-statements that you can say to yourself to counteract that critical statement. So for example, if your negative thought might be, I'm never going to get faster, I'm never going to get stronger, I'm stuck, then that positive self-statement might be, my logbook shows I'm making small, steady progress. Here's one point of progress I made today. So just looking at one thing that you might have done that went well that day. There's always something that you can find that you can do well at. So just notice how you can interrupt that continuous cycle of undermining thoughts and develop more positive attitude just through awareness. And then I wanted to give you some more tools as well. But first, just check in with everyone here. See, do you have questions or what are your thoughts so far, comments about what's helpful for you? I know some people are, I think, have their phones muted because they're traveling. But let's see. Val, are you still there? You have any questions or thoughts? What's helpful for you?
No. I'm still here. I love the story about how the young lady had the positive meeting with her coach, and just the fact that she made it a win-win. They look like a win-win for her playing, because I've had
right.
with my coach before, and it's all about me. You know, why am I getting more playing time instead of I want to help the team win if I'm out there? So I just thought that was eye-opening.
Yeah, and you probably experienced that with basketball. Did you where you feel like you're why can't I get more playing time or were you always out there playing the whole time?
No, I've had situations where I wasn't playing the whole time. I wish I would have been more, I call it zooming out instead of zooming in when I was talking to my coach. It was more about me, instead of what can I do to help the team win. And I think my conversations probably would have gone better if I would have used your strategy.
Yeah, right, thinking of the team, because it's the coach is controlling everything, and of course they want to win, and they're thinking of the bigger picture, zooming out kind of thing, as you say. It's a good strategy, I think. And are you thinking how you could use these strategies with your athletes? I know, Val, you're working with female athletes, trying to develop content for them.
Yeah, a lot of it is about getting more playing time and how do you get the most out of it. If someone puts you in for 60 seconds and, you know, like you said earlier, controlling what you can control. And obviously, you can control two things, your attitude and your effort. And I just think giving kids, especially young girls, empowering them to have these conversations not only helps them with the sport short term, but will help them in life long term.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because you know, it's good to emphasize when you're working with people, it's not just the situation, but we're developing assertiveness skills for life in a job situation, especially with women, with female athletes and women in general. We usually have to speak up for ourselves more to get what we want. And so it's important to have those assertiveness skills so they can you know, speak up to get a better job, to get a promotion, to get better pay, to get a better position, you know, and as a leader, maybe if it's a basketball team, a better, more playing time, you know, better position on the team. And so everybody's kind of trying to move up. And there may be some time when, you know, realize if you're really, let's say you're in the middle of a game, you're feeling tired and you're not performing quite as well and you need a little bit of a rest, and realize the coach may be seeing that as a bird's eye view and saying, okay, yeah, I want you to sit this one out or be on the bench. And you might think, oh, man, why are they taking me out of the game? But then what I tell my athletes is you can realize that maybe, say, what's good about this situation? Instead of saying, oh, why is this happening to me right now? Say, if we ask those questions, to start with why, like, why does this happen to me? Why is this so difficult? Why don't I get to play? When we ask questions that start with why, then usually our left brain, that negative or critical part, tells us why, you know, it leads us down a rabbit hole of the inner critic and saying, oh, because, you know, they take you out of the game because you're a bad player, because you're messing up and that sort of thing. But if you ask questions, what if you're to ask a different type of question that starts with what or how? I call them positive action questions. So questions like, okay, what's good about this situation? And, okay, if I'm on the bench, that means I get a little bit rest and I can go into that negative, default mode network we were talking about, just let my mind wander and process things and just have a mental rest. And maybe then prepare mentally for the game, stay in the game and be able to prepare for when I go back out and be really ready to go. So asking yourself, what's good about this situation? You could ask yourself, how can I use this to my advantage? You know, lots of things you can be able to do when you're being able to rest. And then you can ask, okay, what's the next step? How can I keep moving forward here? The next step might be preparing to get back out onto the field again. Or if you're at home, let's say with the situation with COVID-19, everyone's asking, why is this happening to me now? And, you know, not being able to play or compete. You can say, well, what's good about this situation? It's maybe you can work on your technique or you can work on the mental side of things, like we could help our athletes to do. There's so many things you can do now. You can work on perhaps your strength or your flexibility, other things that you can work on yourself and be so that you are more ready when things do open up again and you can start playing. Or like Val, you mentioned some soccer teams are playing now, so they can, if you're prepared, more prepared mentally, then you're going to be out there and be able to be so far ahead of the other athletes. So, yeah, and some of the techniques that we can do for being able to refute the critic's message is, you know, be able to do something physical along with verbalizing a phrase of some sort. Say you can, each time you hear that negative voice inside, be able to do something physical first. I think like snap your fingers or touch your wrist or your something that you do physically, like that picture I talked about, took a stone and threw it backwards, and then just say, yeah, that's behind me, or that's, if there's, you're making a critical self-judgment saying, there's no, I don't need to, yeah, I can think of something different, or that's not true, whatever, or I want to turn up the volume on this other side. What's the opposite? Ask yourself, what's the opposite of this way of thinking? What do I want to be thinking? And be able to ask yourself that. So, and then do something physical along with verbalizing the phrase. So, you know, snapping your fingers, or tapping your leg, or saying stop. Those, the combination of the physical movement and then the verbal expression, I think, wakes you up and makes that thought interruption work better. And so that strong activity of physical and verbal expression, that breaks the chain of those negative thoughts and prevents them from kind of snowballing out of control. And so the key is to catch your sort of negative thought process, that negative mindset, in the beginning stages before it has a chance to really pick up steam. So with that continuous kind of intervention, then the frequency can be diminished. And so, and sometimes, you know, we're athletes, we need to be moving a lot, you know, and sometimes just getting up, that rumination or can happen. Just sitting too much and just getting up and walking can make a huge difference. And a lot of studies in neuropsychology show that any kind of left-right movement, continuous left-right movement, how, like walking, you know, with you're moving your left leg, your right leg, left arm, right arm, or running, or swimming, or cycling, they're all kind of continuous left-right movements, or just standing in place and doing, you know, lifting left leg, right leg, back and forth. And doing that right now as I'm talking to you, you know, and doing that helps to synchronize the left and right sides of the brain. So it helps you to be able to think more clearly and to process things. It helps your memory, helps you be able to make better decisions. So being able to do that, get up and do some kind of movement of left-right movement, is going to help to break that negative thought process channel and be able to move forward to do better with your to move into that positive mode. And another technique I wanted to talk about is to, you know, exercises to help train your brain for being able to get into the more positive mindset is you want to differentiate between ruminating and problem solving. You know, we tend to just think that, you know, we're thinking about something for an extended period of time. You know, you want to think about, okay, am I ruminating about this, just going over and over the same thing, or am I problem solving? And if you're actively problem solving, then, or preventing a problem, then that's okay to keep processing that. But if you find yourself rehashing the things that already happened, or you're, you know, catastrophizing and worrying about things that you can't control, then it's good to change the channel. So it's a good question to ask yourself: am I ruminating, going over and over the same thing, or am I problem solving? And you know, say writing down, say the pros and the cons is a good way to get out of that ruminating phase and be able to write, okay, for problem solving, I want to write what are the pros of doing this one thing or the cons, or write down what's negative about what I'm doing right now, or what do I want to do to change things. So be able to problem solve instead. Another technique is to label your emotions. So be able to, a lot of people have trouble showing or talking about their feelings, and So, you know, we become distant with our feelings, and it makes it harder to even recognize what we're feeling. And when we do label our feelings, sometimes we just do it in an indirect manner. We just say, oh, I'm sad, or I feel a lump in my throat, or my eyes got watery. But instead, you want to, you know, focus on what it is you're feeling. Like, I'm feeling nervous, nervous about something in particular, about this, maybe a decision that's going to be made, or about my performance. So have your athletes spend a few minutes every day acknowledging your emotional state and label your feelings and consider how those emotions are likely to affect your performance and your decisions. And if you're feeling, you know, sad about something in your personal life or worried, you know, your emotions, you don't want them to spill over into other aspects of your life. You don't want to just identify them and then be able to say, okay, I'm going to work on problem solving with that issue. And then another technique I wanted to mention is just balancing, you want to balance your emotions with logic. So kind of balance your right side of your brain with the left side of your brain. And say if you're faced with a tough decision, or say a dilemma with your coach, or your your athletes have trouble with their parents, you make the best decisions when you're allowed to balance out your emotions with the logic. So it's not all emotional, or it's not all just logic, but both sides. So when your emotions are running high, you want to take steps to increase that rational thinking. And like I was saying, one way is to create a list of pros and cons of your choices. Here's what I can do about this, and here's the pros of doing this, and here's the cons. And then what you could do is, that helps take the emotion out of it and just equip you with the best choices. And if you're working with an athlete, when they make the pros and cons, you can do a visualization around that to help them with making, say, a good decision or making steps forward. So you can have them, do a visualization and say, imagine this one thing that you want to do is an animal. Think of an animal or a character for that one decision. And then for this other thing that you want to do, think of a different animal or something that another character for that, and just notice, and then to ask each one, you know, kind of, so that takes it out of your brain and just into this other kind of realm of thinking, and then you say, let's say it's a bird or something on the left, if you want to escape, or you want to go to another place in your mind, ask that bird, what is it feeling, and what does it need, what's it thinking, and then what are its needs right now, and then do that with the other side of, say, another decision, and let's say the other one is a lion or something, and an animal, and ask it what it's feeling, what it's thinking, and what it needs. And so you can kind of, it's like asking different parts of your brain to talk to you in a more specific way. And then you'll get more specific answers and be able to delineate what it is that you want to, the decisions you want to make. So, so those are some things I want to mention today. And then next time when we do our next PECI call, we can talk about more techniques for mindset strategies. Yeah, and also some things about marketing, too. So normally our calls are on the second and fourth Thursday of the month, but this one, this time, we happen to have a fifth Thursday, so we're doing it today, the 15th, and then our next one would be on the fifth Thursday, which is the 29th of October. So if you can mark your calendars for that, October 29th at the same time at 9 a.m. Pacific time, we'll do our call then. And then I always like to end the call with just asking people what was most helpful for you, or what was a takeaway or a nugget that was useful for you with this call, that maybe something that you want to remember, and any questions that you have too. So Yeah, anyone can jump in.
Dr. Joanne?
Yeah, oh, hi, is that Annabelle?
Yes, hello.
So hi, did you just join us or have you been on the call?
I hear everything. It was very interesting. And I wanted just to share the fact that in France, most of the time, when I work with my clients, I could see first in France we often work on everything which doesn't work, and so we always analyze the bad thing, and so we need to learn to see the good side. So it's the reason why when I have got my clients, I always ask them to give a feedback, a positive feedback first, and then a negative feedback. And always the question is, what did you learn in this experience? Because most of the time we, in France, we love, we prefer see, analyze the bad side because we believe that it's the best way to improve. Whereas I know in the United States, we work more in the good side. So in France, we work a lot on the way they think because we need to change the mind. We need to be positive and not negative. So it's just that I wanted to share. I don't know if everything was clear, but yes.
Yeah, that's good. I'm really glad you're on the call, Annabelle, because it's good to have you here all the way from France.
Yeah.
And in France, you might have different ways of, just a little different perspective on working with people. And, are you working with any particular athletes right now that this might relate to, the call today?
Yes.
Yeah, which athletes, what kind of sports are you working with now?
Oh, one more time, what was my thought?
Yeah, I just wondered what sports you're working with, what kind of athletes?
Oh, it's in tennis.
Yeah, tennis, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. So, in tennis, do the athletes tend to have, those negative thoughts and inner critic? Can you give an example in tennis?
Because, for example, when the player is in the match, if he stay concentrated on a mistake that he did, he can lose a lot of points and have more and more and more mistake. Whereas if he's able to just stop to think about the past, to stay in the present, and when he has got a break, he analyzes what he can learn for the next step. He's more in positive. How can I say that? He can learn and become stronger for the next point. I don't know if everything is clear.
Oh, yeah, it's very clear, yeah. Yeah, you speak very good English, and I know because English is a second language for you. I think it's beautiful English, yeah. And, so that's great that you can talk about tennis and when they get focused on mistakes, yeah, there's just two people out there, so it's not like basketball where there's a whole bunch as a whole team, when you make a mistake, everybody's focused on you, and it's easy to make lose points, as you say, make more mistakes. So it's important to have something to do to be able to switch gears. I know you see a lot of tennis players after they, if they've made a mistake, they walk back towards the back and they look at their tennis racket. It's like they're playing with their tennis racket with the strings and just focused on the strings of the racket to, you know, the racket probably doesn't need fixing, but it's helping focus on the racket just gives them time to kind of reset and be able to just say, oh, okay, I did that and now I'm okay.
Thank you.
Or to focus on the next shot, right? So yeah, so that's good. And so it's great to chat with you, NL. I'm glad that you're on the call here. And Val, are you still on the call too? I just wanted to ask if you have a takeaway or nugget, something you learned today.
Oh, I like the term. I'm not sure if I remember it correctly. The default mind or default reset?
When you default mode network.
Oh, yeah, default mode. I really like that. Just letting your mind wander and getting out of that focus on what's going on and just, I guess, like a reset. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and I think we need to do that, not just every now and then, but really several times a day kind of thing. It's good to do because oftentimes we think, oh, well, the mind isn't doing anything, but actually when you go into that just relaxing and letting your mind wander, it's doing a whole lot. It's going into this whole other creative mode. That's like when musicians songwriters want to come up with a song, that's what they go into is a default mode network to be able to create something new. And writers, when they want to write something, you know, just let the mind wander, go for a walk somewhere, and then all of a sudden all kinds of things come, new ideas come up, you know, and usually problems get solved, you know, if there's something like you're frustrated about something or, you can't think of feeling stuck, you know, just going for a walk and staring out at the sky or trees or someplace in nature, you can... Oftentimes, the mind will come up with ways to handle a situation. You just put that thought in there of, okay, I've got this problem here. I want to solve this. And then you just let your subconscious mind go to work on it, that default mode network, as you're out walking. And then you can easily come up with a... And all of a sudden it's that, aha, oh, yeah, okay, I got it. You know, here's the way I could do that. I know for myself, I've done a lot of media interviews where it's going to be on TV or radio, and especially during the Olympics. And I would usually go out for a walk right before that and just think about the different questions that might be asked or how I might answer something. And usually I could really come up with a lot better answers. How I could respond to a question if I'm not walking and just thinking and letting the mind wander, then new ideas come up. So that's really important to do that for us. So yeah, does anyone have questions or other topics that you'd like me to cover for next time, or just general questions, anything at all?
For me, it's good.
Okay, yeah, and oh, I'm so glad that you're on the call here, too. And I know I think Dave is usually on our call from on mute. He's up and moved to, I think, Utah. And so, welcome, Dave, if you're on the call, too, and George and Greg or other people on the call. And then we've got June in Texas and John is in Nebraska here, and lots of other people as well. So, yeah, so next time we'll have our call on the 29th. Mark your calendars for that day. And, we'll talk more about the techniques for the thing in a positive mindset. And just things that are happening in general in the sports world would be good to talk about too. And yeah, it's great since we've got women on the call here talking about women athletes and how to be able to be more assertive and be stronger within ourselves and really affirm ourselves. I think that's a good topic too to stay in there. I've got one chapter in my book on how to on women athletes and self-image. That's really good one. I can talk about techniques from that too. So great. Okay, well, wonderful having all of you on the call. Thanks for joining us. And Anna L and Val and Dave and June, John, all the people joining us here. So it's always such a pleasure to and honor to work with all of you. And yeah, I'm always wanting to add more tools to the website too, so I'll be sending you those as we go here. So great. Well, I look forward to those of you who are going through the course, look forward to more of your assignments. I know Annelle, you're almost completed with all the modules. That's great. So look forward to those. Yeah, you're doing a great job. I guess you just need to do the exam at the end, right? And whenever you're ready, you can send that. And then welcome Val again for a new student, for our coach in our course. And it's great that you have such a great background, in professional basketball. So, it's good to have you on the course here. And more power, more women power here. power with the hoops. Hoop power, right? So, okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for the call. And we'll talk to you. I'll send out the recording. I recorded this and put the recording up in the next day or so. Here, it'll be right up on the website. You just click on the yellow button that says schedule and then page down there and you'll see it there. So, and any of the calls that you missed, the recordings are there too for the last 9 years or so. So lots of resources there. So great. All right. We'll talk to you soon and I'll send out all this information, send out my notes from this call to you as well. So thank you, everyone, and have a good week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye now.